Welcome to the Lucky Let Court podcast, a Tennis Now production sponsored by Tennis Express. I'm your host, Chris Otto, so thrilled to be with you on the day before Wimbledon at SW19. Things are very calm around the grounds. Not many people are left. It's the early evening, and of course, first ball is tomorrow at Wimbledon. Day one will kick off at 11 a.m. on the outer courts and 1 p.m. at center court and number one court. You guys can kick over to tennisnow.com to check out the order of play and the day one preview over there. But for now, here on the podcast, we want to get to a very special guest. His name is Patrick Mouratoglou, the founder of the Mouratoglou Tennis Academy, the coach of Serena Williams. And today we spoke on the grounds of Wimbledon, talked a little bit about his academy, which has been in the south of France since 2016. He has an incredible setup there. 200 student athletes are at this academy full time. There's a lot of things the average fan probably doesn't know about this academy and what Patrick is doing for tennis over there. He's got the number one program for U.S. college placement in all of Europe. He's got 35 full-time tennis and fitness coaches on board, 15 teachers for the school there, and 130 employees. There is a lot going on at Patrick's Academy. We were very fortunate to catch up with him today to speak about the academy, also about his players, Serena Williams, of course, and there's 15-year-old Coco Gauff. There's the Aussie qualifier, Alexei Poprin. Of course, Stefanos Tsitsipas spends a lot of time at the academy. He has an extended role for Patrick. So very thrilled to speak about those players and also touched a little bit on Marcos Baghdatis and what the lovable Cypriot means to Patrick Mouratoglou and how he helped him develop when he was just a young coach breaking into the industry. So lots to talk about. Let's get straight into this interview right now. Wow, special day today. I'm sitting beside Patrick Mouratoglou, man that really needs no introduction. He is the founder of the Patrick Mouratoglou Tennis Academy, a sprawling, beautiful facility in the south of France. He's also, oh, by the way, the coach of Serena Williams, 23-time major champion. They've been working together since 2012. She's won 10 major titles in that time, all of which came after the age of 30. Hello, Patrick. Pleasure
Hello.
To speak with you.
Very nice to be with you, too.
Beautiful day here on the day before Wimbledon.
Beautiful. Beautiful and not too hot. Yesterday was incredibly hot. Today's better.
Yeah, it's very nice to kind of cool down a little bit. So, again, pleasure to speak with you. This is a great thrill. I want to start with a little bit talking about your academy. I understand that you have 200 full-time students there at the academy, as well as just a massive team of coaches, physical trainers. Can you just take me a little bit about the evolution of the academy since you moved to the south of France? I think it was 2016?
Exactly. We were in Paris before. I started my academy in 1996 with an idea that at that time was very different. And the idea was this one. I thought that every player deserved something really adapted to him or her. And at that time, I would say that most of the tennis academies and the federations, they were totally into a different way to coach people. They were thinking, let's create a system and the players have to fit in the system. And I thought, no, that's wrong. We have to create a system that fits to the people. And that's what I did in 1996. I had a lot of success with players, and then the academy grew year after year. And at some point, the academy was too small, so we decided to move. Also, it was a good moment to think about it, because I thought it's a moment to invest for the next 20, 30, 40 years. Where is the best place to be? I wanted to stay in Europe, because when you're European, I think it's difficult to move to other places to live. And I love France, and the south of France is just a dream.
Yes.
And I moved my academy to next to Nice and Cannes, where the Cannes Festival, Film Festival is. Mm-hmm. It's 15 minutes from the airport, which is the second biggest airport in France, an international airport. We're in the French Riviera, which is probably one of the top spots of Europe for holidays. It's absolutely beautiful. The weather is incredible. We play outdoor all year. And I could buy a place that is big enough to fit all our projects. And our main activity, we have two main activities, we have several others, but two main are, first, a program for players all year, which includes, of course, the school, school, tennis, and fitness and everything, and housing, of course. And we started that a long time ago. And the idea is to bring young people to success, whether it's in tennis or in life in general. And we work actually with all the American universities. We get scholarships for our players, for the ones who are not going to become pros, or maybe will try but later. And we send a lot of pros on tour also with a lot of success in the past.
Right.
And the second thing is the camps and the summer camps. We have 3,500 campers per year. We'll probably have 4,000 this year actually. Mm-hmm. But we, even though we're big in terms of numbers, we always find a way to have one coach for four players, to be able to do something that is really individualized for each player.
Some intimacy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great. So you're the number one program now for U.S. college placement in Europe.
Yep, we are.
How quickly did that happen for you guys?
You know, I'm doing this job for now 23 years, so that didn't happen that quick, but it's okay. That's something that I always wanted to do, to be able to do really well in our program. And doing really well, it's not that easy, because you have to do well on the tennis, you have to do well in the fitness, you have to do well with the school.
Yeah.
And we have the responsibility of those kids, and I think I want to give them all the chances to succeed.
Yeah.
So it took time. I think today we have the best program. Just look at the results in terms of tennis, look at the results in terms of college placement, and you see we're number one everywhere, because also we've been very focused for the last 23 years.
Yeah, fantastic. And just to give our listeners an idea of how big the place is, 35 coaches on staff, 15 teachers for the schools, and another 130 employees. So that's pretty maxed out, everything that a young guy could want.
Yeah, and it's a big resort. We also have a hotel on site, 155 rooms, 4 stars. We just built a building with a lot of apartments. We have 62 apartments on site also. We have paddle, we have 4 swimming pools, 34 courts, 2 gyms. And we're building now an office building also on site. So yeah, it's for Europe, it's really a very, very big resort. For the US, maybe not as big, because you're used to very large resorts, but for us it's really big.
Did you take any inspiration from Nick Bollettieri back in the days and what he was able to do in Florida?
First, I love Nick. I think he's an incredible person. What he's achieved, I have a lot of respect for him and for everything he has achieved. I think we both have our own philosophy. We're different. We get along really well, but I think each academy has the philosophy of its creator, its founder. So I think we are very different from IMG Academy. But the great thing is there are different offers on the market, and each player has the chance to find something that fits him well. And I think it's great that there are different offers, different philosophies. And we are all very professionals, whether it's us, Rafa, IMG,
right.
Everybody's professional in a different way, and it's great for the players.
Mm-hmm. And I took some inspiration from part of your story, which was that back in the day when you were a player who dreamt about being in the sport, you had to make a very tough decision between family and between tennis. You chose family. You worked in your father's business, am I correct? And that was a bit of a heartbreaker for you to leave the game for a while, but you had the passion for the sport to come back to it, and now you're here to stay, obviously. So how does that decision you made and how it turned out kind of inform who you are as a person and what your academy does with its students?
Yeah, that was a key moment in my life. And I have to say that this decision to quit tennis when I was 15, 16 years old created a lot of frustration, like an incredible frustration. And I explain in my book that even the worst feelings, and frustration is a terrible feeling, can be an incredible motor and can end up being something very positive. And I think to me, this frustration was the key to give me the motivation to do and to achieve everything I have achieved in the last 25 years. So in a way, if you're able to turn out even a negative feeling into something that can be powerful to you, That's great, and I think that's a good lesson for in life. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that, but now that I'm a bit older, I know that this frustration was what made me do and achieve everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and you worked under Bob Brett. Would that be the proper way to say it, back in your early days in Paris, or together with him?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I was under him and over also. I was over because I hired him. But he was a great coach, and mm-hmm. I was nothing. So he kind of taught me the job. Right. I hired him because I wanted the academy to have his name,
right.
because I was nobody in tennis,
okay.
and I thought that I needed a big name in order to convince young good players to come to my academy.
Yes.
So I hired him, and I kind of paid for his name, and I hired him for 50 days a year, and we had a great relationship, and he's been kind enough to bring me on the tennis court so many times, and he was excited to show me stuff. So he kind of taught me my job, mm-hmm. yeah, for sure.
And then you made another tough decision, because you broke away from Bob Brett because you wanted autonomy, and that was another important decision in your career, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can say that. I stopped with him because there was no other option at some point, because things were going wrong. And it, as you said, it was very tough because we had such a strong relationship. And I had no other option than to stop. And I thought at that time it's terrible, because I invested in his name for 6 years, because the academy's name was Bob Brett Academy, and I start from scratch again mm-hmm. after 6 years. So, and that's when I took the decision to put my name, because I thought otherwise I will never create a brand. If people leave, I mean, there is no way I'm going to create a brand. I'm the only one who's not going to live.
Right. I'm getting a feel for your brand, right? I was sitting up there in the media pavilion seeing a lot of Murata Glue t-shirts walk by, one with Alexei Popyrin, who's a player I'd like to chat with you about, actually. But before we get to some of your current players, and there are many of them that I would love to speak about, we've only got 5 minutes, by the way, so we're going to have to squeeze this in. But I wanted to go back to Marcos Baghdatis. It's his last career, the last tournament of his career here at Wimbledon, and I know that you guys shared a very important part of his career. I wonder if you could take me back and tell me a little bit of what Marcos means to you, and what that experience of being with him during the best moments of his career were like.
Yeah, he was like a son to me, because he came to my tennis academy when he was 13 and a half years old. The academy was small at that time. We didn't have many players. I was very close to him. I was actually driving him every morning. He was living at some people's apartment that I found for him, and I was picking him up every morning, bringing him into the academy. We had all these talks every morning. We were incredibly close. Then one day I became his coach. So we shared a lot of things from 13 years old to world champion in juniors. And then at 20 years old, he reached the final of a Grand Slam against Roger. He lost in four sets to Roger, reached the semis in Wimbledon the same year, became top 10 in the world. So we went a long way. It's probably around 8 years together, and he was a kid. So, I mean, yeah, and I explained in the book that it didn't end well between us, and I take the full responsibility, because I was much older, I had not much experience, and I learned a lot from that. I mean, it was very painful for me, because, again, he was like a son, and to have this relationship kind of... Yeah, we lost kind of our relationship. It was very painful, but I realized that that in my job I should not put too much emotions. And when I have emotions, you have to be able to step back. And I mean, it taught me a lot of things about my job.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe you won't be close with him now as you watch his last performance here at Wimbledon, but will a part of you be emotional and reflect on some of these memories you guys have?
Oh, for sure. For sure. He was first of all, he was my first player who really did something big. He, thanks to him, Muratoglu Academy became famous all around the world, because when a player reaches a Grand Slam final, he's seen all over the world, and he did a lot for the Academy. So this I will always remember, and I think our destinies are kind of together,
linked.
You know, they're linked. So. Yeah. Of course, when he's going to retire, he's going to feel very strange, and for sure very emotional.
And if we have a few more time for a few more questions, I would love to chat about this 15-year-old phenom, Coco Gauff, who's the youngest Wimbledon qualifier in the Open era. She's been training at the academy with you for a while. You must be incredibly proud of what she's done already.
For sure. The first time she came to my academy, she was 10 years old, and I remember how impressed I was with her qualities and her potential. And I thought, wow, if things are done right, she can become incredible. Not that she is incredible already, but she has already achieved a lot in a very short period. She won a Grand Slam in juniors at 14 years old. But she also made history at 13 and a half when she reached the final of the US Open in juniors. She was the youngest in the Open era. So she's 15, she's broken a few records already, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she plays against Venus here, first round, is a dream come true for her, because Venus is her idol, so is Serena, but they are the reason why they started playing tennis. She started playing tennis, sorry.
Yeah.
So when she saw the draw, you have no idea how happy she was.
Oh, good. She should be happy.
Oh, yeah. That's why those players play tennis. She wants to be on big courts. She wants to play against the top players, and hopefully one day she hopes to win a Grand Slam, yeah, or one would be already
certainly
great.
Certainly has the potential. And another player with a lot of potential, the Aussie Alexei Poprin. Can you talk a little bit about him and his chances here at Wimbledon?
Sure. I mean, same. We were working together for a few years. He won Roland Garros in juniors 2 years ago. I think he has a big, big game. He's tall. He has big serve, big forehand. Great hands. He loves to come to the net. I think grass is a good surface for him. Same, he's going very fast. He was 1 year and a half ago, he was 600 in the world.
He was.
So that's again, he's rising fast in the rankings, which is a very good sign. A great guy, super personality. I love him. We have a great group. And I think that everybody's helping each other. You know, the fact that Stefanos Tsitsipas went up so fast helped also Poprin. Now it's Coco who's coming. And I feel like everybody's going to pull the other ones up. We have also Molliker, who's great.
Okay.
He forgot to
so many names.
Yeah, Molliker is 18 years old, and he qualified both in the Australian Open, where he was the youngest in the draw, and in Roland Garros.
Wow.
And this one is going to be good too. Very good.
Talented one. And Stefanos, you mentioned, I mean, this is just a wildly talented young player with so much personality. Made the second week here at Wimbledon in his debut last year. Do you expect better things from him? And also about his role at your academy. He's not just a player there. He's also got a sort of a mentor role with you.
Sure.
Well,
he's,
right?
He's the godfather of
the tennis
and school program. And yeah. But he's such a nice person. He loves to give back already to people. He's very kind. Of course, he's very focused on his career, but he likes to give. Of course, we expect him to do well. He's one of the only young guys who can say that he beat Roger in a Grand Slam. He beat Rafa on clay. He beat Novak in a Masters 1000, but also beat Zverev, Dominic Thiem several times. So he can play. He can play great tennis. But you know how difficult it is to win a Grand Slam and beat two out of the three greatest players of all time, which is the minimum you have to beat to win here. You know how incredibly difficult it is. And you know at the Australian Open he could beat Roger, but then he lost to Rafa. You know, to beat those guys back to back is probably one of the toughest thing in the history of the sport, because those guys are the biggest ever and they're still playing their best.
Is Stefanos one of those players that we're not going to be able to figure out which surface he's best on because he's so good on all of them?
That would be a good problem to have.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think his game fits all surfaces. And I'm totally unable to tell you if he wins a Grand Slam, which one will be the first one, because he's able to play well and to figure out how to win, because it's more about that. And I think that's his greatest quality. Since I know him, I was impressed by his ability to win. He's a great competitor. He's the kind of player who figures out how to win, so it doesn't work all the time, but I've seen him beat a lot of guys that I think were better than him tennis wise at that time. And that's why he rises so fast in the rankings. But yeah, he's able to play well in all surfaces. He figures out how to win on different surfaces.
My last question, if I may, I read one of your quotes back to you that came out in the New York Times about Serena and her difficult quarter of the draw. You said, "I think it's bad luck for them." Your take on this crazy quarter of the draw and Serena going into Wimbledon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with myself. I said it and I mean it. If I was a player on the women's draw, I wouldn't like to be in the same part of the draw as Serena. So I think it's bad luck.
Sounds good to me. Thanks for your time, Patrick.
It was a pleasure.
have it. Special thanks to Patrick Mouratoglou for joining us. That was just an incredible honor to speak with him. It was the first time I've ever spoken with him. Very cool, and hopefully we can do it again soon. You guys check out the Mouratoglou Tennis Academy website to learn more about it. And, of course, keep an eye on all his players over the fortnight at Wimbledon. For those of you that are listening for the first time, I want to let you know you guys can find us on iTunes. You just open your Apple Podcasts app, type in Lucky Letcord Podcast. You can also find us on Spotify, on Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. You can also find Tennis Now on social media. You go to Facebook, find us at facebook.com/tennisnow. At Twitter, you find us at @tennis_now. You can hit us up on Instagram. You can find this podcast homepage at podomatic.com. There's lots of different ways to get in touch, and we'd be thrilled if you do. And if you stop by iTunes, you can rate and review the podcast. It would mean a lot to us. Special thanks to everybody for listening. So excited to take you into day one of Wimbledon, and looking forward to spending this fortnight with all of you. Enjoy the tennis. We'll be back before day two.